On September 11th, 2001, the course of American history was suddenly changed. We remember the chaos and the confusion, the destruction and the heartbreak, the shock of 3,000 lives lost in a single day. But we also remember the great resolve of everyday people, the acts of heroism that brought us together, the men and women who stood in the gap, somehow still fighting, giving every ounce of strength to help others. Decades have passed since that historic day, and in that time, we have learned that despite all the suffering and loss, our God remains faithful. Even when smoke and debris obscure our paths, His unfailing love will carry us through. As we remember those who were lost, let us honor their memory with our lives, giving our own strength to help the hurting, making sacrifices for those around us, and sharing the faith which brings eternal hope and peace. This is our promise and our prayer for 9/11.
Let's all stand if you're able to. Lord, we just ask that you just be in this place today. We ask that you to pour your Holy Spirit upon our hearts and in our minds and our lives, of God. And that we would leave this place today changed in the way that you would have us to be changed, Lord. Lord, some here are looking for something, Lord. They're looking for their hearts to be filled. Lord, we pray that you fill it with your Holy Spirit today. We believe that you're going to be here today. We worship you. Lord, help us get our eyes off of things around us and off of our problems, off of our neighbor's problems. Lord, that we just focus on you because you are the answer today. I heard an old, old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. Me to victory beneath the cleansing flood, and I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming
love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love
me down.
a shadow, you won't light a mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's a shadow you won't light a mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's a shadow you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Chases me down, fights till I found reason I deny.
Earn it and deserve it, still you give yourself away. So much that he would leave the 99 and come for the one, and that one was you, and that one was me, and he's here today. You feel that you've run away so far that he can't find you? Oh, he can. He knows exactly where you are, and he's coming for you because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Worship today. I've been gone for a while, so I got some making up to do, right? Just spend some time worshiping the Lord.
Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is a power where my freedom song's found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave. When I hear that trumpet sound, oh, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. Where there ain't no grave, I'm gonna hold my body with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Love is a resurrection, love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna lay my giants down. But there ain't no gonna hold my body down when there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. I'm gonna rise up out of the ground when there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body. Between death and life, and there on the tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. and he went on down to hell, and he took back every king, and he rose up as a lion. He set the captives free, but there ain't no grave that can hold his body down. Well, there ain't no grave. Trumpet sound. Oh, he rose up out of the ground, but there ain't no grave that could hold his body down. Oh no, oh no, there ain't no grave. Oh no.
That doesn't ring your bell, then you don't have a bell to ring. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. You walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. I worship you. are here,
turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Close your eyes right now. There's so many distractions going on in our minds today. Some of you might, I've not looked, but some of you might be just peeking at your phone, seeing what's going on. Some of you just might be thinking about the bills that have to be paid this week. Some of you just say, I just don't feel like standing up. I'm just so dead dog tired. Some of you just our minds are other places besides here. Some of you are worshiping. I know that. I'm not judging. But we have to get our minds off of ourself. Worship is a sacrifice of praise. We think of a sacrifice as in the old days where they would bring in the lamb and they put on the altar and they would offer incense up to the Lord. And God loves a good barbecue. He really does. He loves the aroma. So now he loves the aroma of our worship. And that's what we do. A sacrifice means that you give something up to him. So we're giving up our hearts and lives, but if we're all focused on things around us other than him, we're not offering up a sacrifice. So I want to encourage you this morning to offer up a sacrifice of praise to him. Eyes closed, please. I believe that Lord is moving in a way today that we've not seen in a while. In your hearts, you feel a tug. I believe he wants to do something for you today, right now. He wants to do something during this worship. I'm not going to call out what it is, but you know what you need, what the Lord wants to do in your heart. You have to release something to him, whether it be fear, whether it be like secret sin, whether it be whatever it is. He wants you to release it to him today during this worship, during this song. So with your eyes closed, everyone just lift up your arms to the heavens if you can, if you're physically able. We're going to sing this song again, and then when we sing it, I want you to release all those things to him, whatever that is in your heart. Is that okay? You guys want to do that? Yes, let's do that. Arms up now. Keep your arms up as long as you can. It's an act of surrender to him.
You are here, touching every heart.
Every heart.
I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. 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 Turning lives around, we need that. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart, mend our hearts. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker.
see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop, never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, never stop working.
You never stop, never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, never stop working.
You never stop, never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, never stop working.
You never stop, never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
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 His presence go before you and behind you and
right beside you, around you, within you. He's with you, he's with you. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, around you, within you. He's with you, he's with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he's for you, he's for you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going,
in your weeping
and rejoicing, he's for you, he's for you. He is for you, he is for you. He is for you, he is for you. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you.
Up your voice to him this morning and
Jesus,
call out praise
Jesus,
to him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.
Our Redeemer, our Savior.
Our praise you, Father God. Hallelujah.
You are worthy of all praise.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praise of his people. He longs to hear from our lips praise and worship and adoration. It's precious to him when we open our mouths and speak, when we give him praise. God, this morning we bring all glory and honor to you. We worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you would fill our hearts with worship. I pray that you would fill our hearts, God, with praise. I pray you would fill our hearts with thanksgiving, Father. Lord, that we would reach out to you and express those things to you day after day. Lord, that we would take the time for you to exalt your name, to lift you up. Lord, we are blessed by you in so many different ways. Every moment of every day, Lord, help us to take a few minutes to give back to you. Lord, you are to be exalted on high today. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in this place, that you would move in the hearts and lives of those that are watching from home. Lord, I pray, God, your Spirit is powerful. I pray that you would move and work and touch and change. give you glory this morning, Father God. 21 years ago today, many of us stood in awe as we watched the horrific historic events of that day unfold. Many of us know right where we were and what we were doing when all of that happened that day. It was a day that took all of us completely by surprise. By this time, by 10:28 a.m., 4 planes had crashed, 2 major buildings had collapsed, thousands were killed, and thousands more had been injured. We watched in horror, wondering what would happen next, or even how this could have happened in America. Certainly not since Pearl Harbor had we seen any kind of an attack like this on American soil. In fact, I'm sure the vast majority of us thought that an attack like this couldn't ever happen again on American soil. Like all of you that experienced that day, there are certain images that are forever burned into our minds. Things we'll never forget seeing that transpired that day. And while it may seem a little bit strange to some of you, one of those images for me is a picture of then President George Bush. When that second plane hit that South Tower, his chief of staff had to deliver the news to President Bush while he sat in a classroom with children. A gentleman by the name of Andrew Card whispered in the president's ear, "America is under attack." That look of shock and disbelief, the one that you see there on that picture of President Bush, that communicated what so many of us were feeling and thinking and experiencing as well. Is this real? How in the world could this be happening? Honestly, when the first plane hit, in my mind, I thought some private pilot couldn't figure out where a building was. Little did I know what was really going on when that first happened. This was such a catastrophic event. It shook the core of our American way of life. Now, today, I want us to remember those lives that were personally affected by the events of that day, lives that were changed forever. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, first responders, the list goes on and on. Way, way, way too many headstones bear the weight of September 11th, 2001 as their final entry. But without taking anything away from that tragedy, without taking anything away from the suffering that people have endured now through that attack, I want us to double back to those words that Andrew Card spoke. America is under attack. Hold on to those words with me for a couple of minutes this morning. 2 days after the attack, President Bush called for a national day of prayer. And the next day, which would have been September 14th, there was a service held at the National Cathedral. A great number of people packed into that place and attended that service. Some people who hadn't set foot in church in years were in that cathedral to be a part of that service. There were also several speakers that were called upon that day to speak during that 2-hour service and to address the nation that was in shock. One of those speakers that day was the late Reverend Billy Graham. During his speech, he said these words. We desperately need a spiritual renewal in this country. God has told us in His Word time after time that we need to repent of our sins and return to Him, and He will bless us in a new way. This event reminds us of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. We never know when we too will be called into eternity. I doubt if those people who got on those planes or who walked into the World Trade Center or the Pentagon on Tuesday thought that it would be the last day of their lives. And that's why we each must face our own spiritual need and commit ourselves to God and His will. Reverend Graham said a whole lot more on that day than just those words, but to me, that part of his speech echoes the words of Andrew Card, "America is under attack." Mr. Card was, of course, speaking to physical actions that were unfolding at that very moment. But I cannot help but draw the line between the physical and the spiritual realities of that particular statement. Those events of that day 21 years ago were, of course, a physical, real attack, but they were also a spiritual attack. And it's not the only spiritual attack on our nation, on its people. You see, Scripture is very clear that the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for people to attack, looking for people to destroy. 21 years ago, Billy Graham said America desperately needs a spiritual renewal. And for a very brief time, we actually saw some signs of that. We saw people seeking, opening up, asking questions. But it was very brief. They quickly fell back into the world and its way of living. It didn't last very long. I can't help but wonder what words Reverend Graham might say today if he were alive to experience the events of the last couple of years. Folks, it's time we understand something this morning. America is still under attack. We are under a spiritual attack. We, the people, are falling further and further away from the foundation that was set in place for us to stand on. 21 years ago, physical towers fell, but I am telling you, the spiritual towers of this nation have come crashing down as well. And the sad part is, not many people have even noticed their fall. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I know I shouldn't say this, and I know I'll probably get chastised for saying this, but I truly wonder how much worse it's going to get in this nation. How much more turning away are we going to do? How much more will we compromise the Word of God? And I'm not just talking about a nation, folks. I'm talking about us personally. How much will we compromise the Word of God? How much more will we allow the enemy attack? How much more will we let go before we decide to do something? Before we decide to take the Word of God seriously? Notice something about 2 Timothy. When that was written, it didn't just say we ignore the doctrine. It says people will not put up with sound doctrine. You know what that means? That means people will come against it. Not just ignore it, not just say, oh, it's not for me, not just forget about it, but they will battle and fight and turn against it. They will not put up with it. They will look to get rid of it, get rid of the old, change it, make it out to be what sounds better so that we don't have to deal with what is actually written. That's what that is saying. That's what that's talking about. You know that phrase, itching ears? That's where that comes in. People want to hear what sounds good to them. What sounds good to us. They don't want to hear about a just God. They don't want to hear about a consuming fire. They just want to hear, oh, love and mercy and peace and grace. And all that is true. Our God is an amazing God. But all the other stuff is true as well. And we can't scribble it out or ignore it or turn our backs on it. It's not my purpose to call out anybody this morning, but I want you to listen to a couple of things the Word of God says. This is not Pastor Kurt talking. I'm reading what Scripture says. Listen to this. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. Dare I say the covenant of marriage today is anything but what it was designed to be. The covenant of marriage today has been trampled underfoot. It is not held up as a biblical standard anymore. It has been stretched, it has been pulled, it has been distorted and modified to say whatever sounds good to people. And the sad part is it's happening in the church. In the name of God, people are creating their own version of what this covenant is supposed to be, and they're calling it good. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There is a whole list of problematic lifestyles. Ones that God says do not be deceived by, but ones the world have said, oh, bring it in. Let's partake. Bring it into the church. It's fine. We don't have to stand against it. How many of these kind of things, folks, are we going to ignore? How many of these things are we just going to say, oh, that's okay, that doesn't quite please my itching ear, so I'm not going to listen to that? How many things are we going to change before we get the picture? I do not understand what or misunderstand what I am saying this morning. Do not twist and distort and confuse my words. All of these sins are forgivable sins. Jesus' blood can wash away all of these things, and He can and will forgive us if, there's that big word again, if we repent and turn away from them. Not if we continue doing as we please. If we repent and turn away, we can have healing. We can have forgiveness. You know, we don't have to continue to live contrary to God's word. But folks, God is not a changing God. God loves us, but His opinion, His thoughts, His plans don't change. He is not looking down today going, oh yeah, it's 2022. Oh, it's okay, guys. I didn't think about it this far ahead. You're good. Live the way you want to live. It's fine. I forgot this new time frame is, you know. That's not how God works. That's not how God thinks. That's not how God functions. We have to understand we cannot rewrite the Word of God. We cannot change the Word of God. We cannot cross out the parts that we don't like and pretend that they don't apply to us. Can't do it, folks. As a nation, as a people, as a church, let's just be very honest in the fact that we have drifted way away from the truth of God's Word. And we are, in fact, in desperate need of a spiritual renewal in our lives, in our church, in our nation. And it's got to be a true, authentic renewal. Not some watered-down, man-made, man-approved version of the truth. But true, Holy Spirit led revival, renewal, change. We've got to stop doing things our own way or demanding what we think is right or appropriate and let the Holy Spirit move. If we don't, this nation will continue to crumble from within. When our nation was attacked 21 years ago, there's all kinds of things that happened. All kinds of things came about because of that. One of the things that we did, in a nutshell, if you'll allow me to use this one word, one of the things that happened was retaliation. We decided as a nation, as leaders, that we were going to stand up against the enemy that leveled our building and took our lives. We spent time, money, resources, we put plans together, and we went after that enemy to take that enemy down. Almost immediately, we crippled them. We hurt them. We did a lot of things to slow them down, but we didn't stop there just because we had hurt them a little bit. We kept pursuing our enemy. Roughly 10 years after the fact, we took down the named leader, the named mastermind that was behind those attacks. And today, we continue to stand against acts of terrorism and those who orchestrate it. We have pushed forward to overcome the enemy on that front, on those attacks. Why is it that we do not have that same kind of resolve for the spiritual things in our lives? Why is that? Why is it that when the enemy attacks us as people, us as a church, us as a nation, why is it that we back down? Why is it that when he strikes, instead of standing against him, we ignore him and we give up more ground? Why is it that we act that way? After the attacks that day, the president moved to a couple of different locations, all for security reasons. He was traveling to stay ahead of anything that might be taking place. But by 7 o'clock that night, he was back at the White House. And he made that deliberate decision to go back to the White House, to be in a place of stability, of power. He wanted to show people that it was important to be in that place. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, he was in the house that mattered. You get where I'm going with any of this? We need to be in the house that matters. At 8:30 p.m. on September 11th, President Bush, from the Oval Office, went on national TV and said these words: "Our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist attacks. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resource of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them." Direct, powerful, and effective words that he spoke, and that a majority of people were very encouraged to hear. See, people don't want those kind of events to continue to happen. People want justice, as long as it doesn't affect them. But they definitely don't want those kind of acts to continue on. They want the enemy found. They want the enemy stopped. No one wanted another senseless event like that to take place on American soil ever again. Again, there's no guarantee of that, but we have done a lot to try to stop that. We've set up new measures, new protocols, new plans, all of that to try to fight against any kind of enemy attack. But why, as believers in Jesus Christ, have we not taken the same kind of stand against the demonic enemy that we face? Why? Do not those words, or very similar words of what President Bush spoke, ring true to us? Our way of life, our very spiritual freedom is under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly acts. Have we directed the full resource of all that is available to us to fight against this battle? I dare say we have not. Church, we are at a crossroad as a nation, as a people, as a church, as individuals. We are at a crossroad. If we are not going to stand on the absolute truth of God's Word, if we are not going to resolve to overcome the enemy that attacks us, if we are not going to work together to oust the evil way of living the enemy has so skillfully instituted in our lives, in our world, then we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Because greater and greater and greater attacks are going to come. I know the end result of this world. I know that the earth and everything in it are destined for destruction. I know that. I understand that. But I also know that in the midst of all of the chaos that exists around us today, we are never called to give up. We are never instructed to let the enemy have his way. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We've been told to stand firm. We've been told what's going to happen, what the end result of this sin-sick world is, but we have also been told to stand firm against the enemy and his wicked ways. There are some 34, 36 scriptures throughout the Word of God that tell us those two simple words, stand firm, not back down, not run away, stand firm. Nothing I've said this morning was meant to take away from the horrific mark that our nation suffered 21 years ago. We've been doing a lot of talking about warning in Scripture, written warning, and I got to be honest, I think things happen in this world that we also need to take note of. We need to pay attention. We need to see what it is that we can draw from the things that have happened around us. Physically, there are enemies that want to see this nation fall, and they plot against us every single day. That's just truth. There are enemies that plot against us every day. It's time we understand that spiritually, there is an enemy that wants to see you and I fall, and he plots against us every single day. Spiritual warfare, spiritual attacks are real. We can't ignore them or pretend they don't exist. To me, there is no question in my mind that we are under attack. Just that simple. And we desperately need a spiritual renewal in order to overcome those attacks. So I'm going to ask you this morning to join me in seeking that spiritual renewal. Not just for our nation, which is incredibly important, yes, but for us personally. That the things of God would matter more than anything else in life. More than our job, more than our sporting events, more than what our neighbor says or thinks. Honestly, more than our spouse. That God would be our number one priority. And that we would worship and praise and seek Him like we never have before. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian and the team to come up. We're going to share in communion together this morning. And as always, when we share together in communion, I ask you to take a moment to examine your own heart, to examine yourself, to make sure that you are right in God's sight, in God's eyes. But then I want you to start asking God for revival. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. If we're going to see revival, it starts in your heart. It starts in my heart. It starts with each of us individually, personally. That's where it starts. Not just going to be a poof, one day there's revival at Sanctuary. God's got to work in your heart and mine, and we have to allow Him to do that. Seek with me a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revival that will start within each of us personally this morning. And then that it would spread throughout the church, throughout the community, and who knows how far beyond that.
Peace, we come to pray and to seek the Lord today for salvation from His hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray.
From the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, I thank you for your broken body. I thank you, Father God, that you willingly laid your life down for me. Not just for people 2,000 years ago, but for me today. For people 2,000 years from now, should you tarry. God, you gave of yourself that we might be set free and made new. God, I thank you for your willingness to allow your body to be broken for our sins. Let's partake of the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we are reminded of your death and resurrection as we partake in this communion together. Lord, you didn't come and suffer and die for us so that we can go on living like we want to live. Lord, you called us to repentance. You called us to turn away from the wickedness of this world. You gave us a hope and a future to look to. But you told us to be different than we had been in the past. God, as we get ready to take this cup together, forgive us. Forgive us for ignoring your word. Forgive us for not taking it seriously. Forgive us for only accepting part of it. God, I pray, right here, right now, every single one of us, God, would you begin to cleanse us from within? Create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us, but teach us, encourage us, and wash us once again with your blood. Let's partake together this morning. God, I pray that you would help us to remember these words today. Lord, make them loud in our ears. God, I pray that you would stop us from falling asleep. Stop us from finding any peace until we heed your word wholly and completely in our lives, Father God. Draw us ever closer to you. We would turn away from the wickedness of this world and the enemy who so entangles us in it. God, renew our hearts and lives today. Let revival start within each and every one of us and spread like wildfire. In Jesus' name, amen.